One of the things I do when I come into church in the morning is to look at the front of the notice sheet if I'm not involved in it. I don't know if you have this morning or not, but if you did, the first thing you'll see is the theme for the day, which today is courageous witness. And I'd like us to think a little bit about that this morning. Why was Paul so courageous, so brave, so selfless, so dedicated in his testimony about the Lord Jesus? And perhaps because of his faith, one of the reasons for that, we might say, or the reason, I think is summed up just in the last phrase from James, the reading from James that Louise gave us. I will show you my faith by what I do. I will show you my faith by what I do. Let's hope that we show our faith by what we do as we live day by day. Well, of course, the last few weeks we've been looking at what Paul's been doing in Acts, and I have to admit that I've missed most of it, so I mightn't follow on precisely. But he's had a tremendous roller coaster ride, hasn't he? All these things that have been going on with him and his life over these last chapters. All sorts of trials and tribulations, but he's kept going with nothing able to diminish his enthusiasm. It's perhaps not quite apt, but I like that phrase of Winston Churchill, who said, success is going from one failure to another with no lack of enthusiasm. Now, that's not suggesting Paul was having failure, but he certainly had that enthusiasm all the time. He continued, whatever happened, to behave with complete integrity. So let's think about what it was that motivated him so totally and irrespective of his circumstances. By way of introduction, I want to tell you a story which I heard on the radio some months ago, and it stuck with me, and I believe this is a true story. It's about sort of motivation in a way, a little bit. There was a lady who went to a preview of an exhibition in a modern art gallery. And you know at these previews there's the red and white wine and the orange juice, and she got a little carried away with the red wine. And so she was feeling a little groggy, and she's wandering around thinking, I could just do with something to eat. And there she saw, just in the middle of this group of people standing around, a table with some bits and pieces, bits of food to pick at. And she saw some bread, it looked like, on a plate, and thought, oh, if I could just slip my hand in there and get a few bits of that bread, you know, that would settle me down and I can carry on better. So not wanting to make a fuss, she thought, I'll just slide my hand between these people and get a few bits, you see, and it'll all be fine. Nothing will go wrong. So that's what she did. She slid her hand in, got a few bits of bread, and suddenly everybody stood back and looked at her. She felt extremely embarrassed. The group parted, as I say, and somebody said, looking at another lady, oh, can you eat it? And the artist replied, yes, you can. But first, you might want to know what's in it. In that bread, the flour is made of ground dried skin off my feet. And the yeast it was baked with comes from my armpits. That's a true story, I believe. And that's a story about someone taking quite inappropriate action in certain circumstances, isn't it? She didn't know what was what, and she made the wrong choices. By contrast, Paul always made the right choices. He acted appropriately to the circumstances, irrespective of the consequences to himself. He acted always in line with his faith, irrespective of the consequences to himself. What was it that enabled him to keep pressing on with such determination? That lady in the story had no idea of the outcome of her action. It didn't say on the radio whether she went on to eat it or not. My guess is she probably didn't. But Paul knew what he was doing, and he knew why he was doing it. And he knew that more often than not, the outcome would not be good for him. So here he was, standing in front of King Agrippa. That's the great-grandson of Herod the Great. And earlier in the chapter, a description of his background and his upbringing, explaining why he's where he is. And now he gives account of his actions and explaining what he's been doing. Not long after his arrival in Jerusalem, chapter 2 before, the Lord had told Paul that he would testify about him in Rome. That's chapter 23, verse 11. And Paul knew it would be tough. He knew that because the Lord said to him, "Paul, take courage." He was going to need courage in Rome. And Paul played his part in making that happen, even though it was going to be difficult, by appealing direct to Caesar. As a Roman citizen, he had that right to appeal to Caesar. Because we read in the chapter, don't we, Agrippa said to Festus, he could have been set free. He's done nothing wrong. But he's appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar he will go. Paul chose not to take the easy way out. He wanted to do what he was supposed to do, whatever the cost. Nothing would get in the way for Paul, not even life itself. He said, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To die is gain. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not like that. I know we say, don't we, the best is yet to come. But that doesn't mean we want to die today and get there now, does it? We mostly, I certainly do, we want to hang on to life. And it's real tough, isn't it, to have that sort of faith that Paul had, to say, to die is gain. Listen to what a World War II American pilot said about action and faith, if I can put it like that. His name is Og Mandino. You probably haven't heard of him. And he's a motivational speaker now. He said, "I have never heard anything about the resolutions of the apostles, but I've heard a great deal about the acts of the apostles." Don't say it, do it. Just remember that the right way round. Don't say it, do it. It's so easy to talk, isn't it? We can talk on and do little or nothing about things. Faith, real faith, demands action. And that's why I picked the reading from James as the second reading. He writes so fervently, doesn't he, about faith and deeds. Faith promotes action. Faith demands action. What we do, how we live our lives, is the result of what we believe. Whether we sort of are aware of that hour by hour, day by day, that is a fact. Paul's faith was such that nothing, absolutely nothing, could or would deflect him from his purpose. "Repent and prove you've repented by your deeds," he says in that reading in verse 20. There's no conflict at all between faith and deeds, as some people sometimes say. Of course, it's perfectly true. We can't earn anything before God. But true faith demands that we act. As a German philosopher, Friedrich Engels, put it, an ounce of action is worth a ton of theory. Our deeds demonstrate our faith. Our actions speak louder than our words. Well done is so much better than well said. And I was reminded of that once again, the week before in our house group, when we were looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Rather than the religious man, the priest, or the Levite who walked past, it was the outcast Samaritan who acted on behalf of the man that was beaten to being half dead on the Jericho Road. He was the neighbor that demonstrated God's love for his fellow man. Our faith is proved and developed and strengthened as we act upon it. Let me tell you another true story. Friday just gone, I was in St. Albans and went for a look around the Abbey. And I'd just like to read you a little bit out of some information they had there about St. Alban, about his courageous witness. And this is the account based on that written by the Venerable Bede. Alban lived at some time during the 3rd century in the Roman city of Verulamium. Although he was a worshipper of Roman gods, including the emperor, he gave shelter to a Christian priest fleeing from persecution. And influenced by the priest's prayer and teaching, he became a Christian. When the authorities discovered the priest's hiding place, Alban exchanged clothes with him. The priest escaped, and Alban was caught or taken, bound and taken before the judge. The judge was furious at this deception and ordered that Alban should receive the punishment due to the priest, if he had indeed become a Christian. Alban declared his Christian faith, saying the words that are still used in St. Alban's Abbey as a prayer. I worship and adore the true and living God who created all things. Despite flogging, he refused to sacrifice to the Roman gods and was sentenced to death. He was brought out of the town, across the river, and up a hill to the site of execution where his head was cut off. That's courageous witness. And I'll just read a little bit more. Legend tells us, legend tells us that on the hilltop, a spring of water miraculously appeared to give the martyr a drink. And also that moved by his witness, the executioner refused to carry out the deed. And that after a replacement executioner had been found and killed Alban, the executioner's eyes dropped out. But that is indeed courageous witness. And so it is a privilege and a joy to act in faith at God's instruction, even though it might not be easy. It might be extremely difficult. And that is why sometimes I think God keeps prodding us until we do what he wants us to do. We might put it off at first and put it off again, but it won't go away sometimes, that niggle, will it, until we do something about it. The week before last at Royal Stoke Hospital, I'd been asked to visit a particular patient, an elderly man. I sat at his bedside. He was very distressed, very disturbed, groaning, shifting around, couldn't be still. I'd gone to talk with him. And I thought, well, there's nothing I can do. I can just sit here for a minute or two and then I'll move on. And then as I just sat there, I thought, yes, I can do something. I can pray. And as I did, as I just sat and prayed to myself for this man, he became quiet and settled in his bed. Now, I know we can say, oh, is it coincidence? Of course we can think that. And I was thinking that. But then, 2 minutes later, his daughter appeared, come to visit. And she looked at him, just lying there peacefully. And I got up and said, oh, I'm one of the volunteer chaplains. And his wife said, obviously a Christian, I've been thinking on my way in this afternoon that perhaps I should ask for a chaplain. My dad's been so disturbed and having such terrible dreams, he's had no peace at all. I was stunned. It's a simple thing, but I was stunned. I know I shouldn't be, but I was. God is so gracious when we acknowledge we can do nothing without him and without bringing him into a situation. Paul, in his whole life, following his Damascus Road experience, focused and relied on God. That is why his ministry was so effective and his life filled with God's peace and joy, irrespective of his difficulties and suffering. And what a challenge that is to each one of us to seek God afresh today and to act on what we know to be true. Paul urges us, does he not, in Romans 12 to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, because this is our spiritual act of worship. Amen.